Welcome to another edition of Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. Welcome to 2021. And we are not avoiding our own New Year's resolutions here on the podcast. We are entering the year with a little bit more structure and some new offerings. And that includes a regular weekly government affairs update by our team of experts from GA. Of course, that would be Steve Hall, Catherine Motley, and Matt Reifer. And we want to have an opportunity every week to provide an update on what's happening on the Hill, down the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, and among the states. So this is our first 2021 ACEC Government Affairs update. And watch out for them every week around this time. We'll be looking at getting them out on Fridays regularly from here on out. But we have a lot to talk about. This week has not been without its news, and we're coming out of a holiday season that was not without its news. I'm sure that during Christmas and into the holidays, everyone was looking and wondering what was happening with this omnibus bill that Congress was working to the 11th hour on, and then went to the president and kind of hung in really limbo until he signed it. You know, there was some, I guess, confusion amongst, you know, if you go on social media and people were saying things about, you know, why is all this stuff in the stimulus bill for coronavirus? It was actually an omnibus bill, which is another word for we ran out of time and we're putting everything into one bill. And inside that bill were a number of victories for ACEC, a lot of long fought policies that were really centerpiece items for our last in-person legislative fly-in. Talking about tax policy when we were talking about all these different things that we were lobbying on. And I really want to start off the show with Matt and Catherine specifically, because they have been really working on these issues for a while. And they were included in the bill, which President Trump signed into law. And we kind of want to look at what we were able to accomplish at the end of 2020. So let's start off with Matt. Tell us a little bit about the bill and kind of and the policies inside the omnibus that we were able to get past the goal line.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's a good question, a good place to start. And you're right, it was a 5,500 page bill and several trillion dollars worth of spending because of those two components that you mentioned, the year end. Full fiscal year, budget for all the federal agencies in combination with the $900 billion stimulus package that they finally negotiated in the lame duck session between the White House and House and Senate members. Let me start with the appropriations piece first, the regular budget cycle, and then I'll talk about a couple highlights of the stimulus package and then turn it over to Catherine to supplement that with her piece. I mean, I think that two components. One, it's just a measure of stability. We've got a full year budget now for all the federal agencies and all the programs that they administer, all the way through September 30 of 2021. So a full year of regular appropriations. And in the infrastructure space, a lot of the accounts that we track and care about, whether it's highways, transit, water, wastewater, energy programs, pretty much across the board, either the funding held steady or it increased. They supplemented the existing programs with additional dollars for the coming year, which is a good news story for us. So that's all good on the appropriations side. And then, as you mentioned, supplemented that with the second stimulus package to come on the, not on the heels, I guess, but to come after the CARES Act, which was passed back in March. From an infrastructure standpoint, a couple things that we have been working on for a long time were additional aid to state and local agencies that our members work for. Talking about state DOTs, local transit agencies, airports, and others. So there was funding in there, not as much as we had asked for, not as much as what was needed, but $10 billion for highways, $14 billion for transit, $2 billion for airports to supplement their ongoing budgets and to backfill the lost revenue that they were experiencing from COVID and the shutdowns and reduced traffic and travel. and help maintain their, at least their operating budgets, as well as some capital expenditures as well. So it's a good news story for us because it provides some budget relief for them and avoids the most draconian and drastic cuts that we had seen projected from a lot of our client partners at the highway and transit level as well. So that's good. And we'll live to fight another day for additional funding going in, you know, to this new year and this new Congress. Let me turn it over to Catherine. Two other pieces I should mention also. In addition to this package, there was a Water Resources Development Act. Projects for the Corps of Engineers to authorize flood control, navigation, environmental programs, work for our members. That was authorized in addition to spending down the balance of the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund for dredging of ports and waterways. So that's a thing that we have been working on. Scaled back, smaller than what we would have liked, but again, sort of getting that done, a biannual process that we were going to continue. So that was good. And then there were a number of energy measures as well. There were energy efficiency and transmission type projects that we had been working on, programs to supplement the work that our members are doing for energy clients. And a number of those got across the finish line in that package as well. Yeah. So again, a lot of initiatives that we have been working on for months, if not years, mm-hmm. all rolled into one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot there that our members through action alerts and grassroots action and organizing, you know, your work paid off because they were included in the bill. And just because you have this opportunity to have an omnibus, that captures a lot of, you know, necessary legislation that might not have been taken care of in regular order. It doesn't necessarily mean that your policies are going to get in there, right? You have to work on it until the bill hits the floor. So the fact that we had so much in there is a testament to the effectiveness of the advocacy that we've been running. And you're right. I mean, it's everything from the plus ups that we worked with our, you know, fellow organizations in the infrastructure space to get across the line to WERDA, which again, it's not just a policy, but it's maintaining that certainty of a biennial policy package for water and our coastal communities. That's critically important. And then, you know, that wasn't alone. Tax, and Catherine, for you, you know, it wasn't just infrastructure, but there are provisions that really help our firms that are in the vertical market. And if you want to kind of go into that, let us know a little bit more about what was in the bill.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff. And so beyond some, we'll talk in just a minute about some of the changes to PPP and the Employee Retention Tax Credit that are great for our members. But, you know, as you mentioned, at our 2019 convention, one of our key lobbying initiatives was extending a couple of energy tax provisions, the Energy Efficient Commercial Buildings Tax Deduction, Section 179D, and also provisions for renewables. And those were included in the legislation, and 179D was made permanent. So that was a really big achievement that we've been asking for a long time. Another one that was a kind of a surprise, unexpected provision included in there, also during 2019 convention, our members lobbied on a provision to allow employers to help pay their employees' student loans without that being a taxable benefit to the employee. And that provision, it was included in the CARES Act just for 2020. And in the stimulus law that was signed in December 27th, it was now extended for 5 years through 2025. So this is something, especially once we come out of the pandemic and our members are once again really focused on employee retention, this is a terrific tool for our members, for firms to kind of help provide another benefit, a really terrific benefit to their employees. So we were thrilled about that as well. But a couple of big changes as part of the sort of stimulus piece of this that I think are worth mentioning. Jeff, this goes back to the point you made about our action alerts and our member engagement and how important this is. You know, in the CARES Act, they included the, you know, Paycheck Protection Program, and they explicitly said that these forgivable loans would not be taxable income. About a month later, the IRS came out and said, okay, but those expenses covered by loan forgiveness are not tax deductible. And this was a huge surprise. It was a huge surprise to Congress. It was a huge surprise to our members and to businesses across the country. And we have worked hard ever since then to build up support in Congress. And it was interesting because we had strong early bipartisan support in Congress, strong opposition from the Treasury Secretary. And he pushed back until the last minute. But you know what? Members of Congress will tell you, hearing from businesses that this was a key priority makes a difference. And it really did. So we really appreciate all of our members who responded to that action alert. Language included in the law that clarifies for PPP, both for the original loans and the expansion that was included, these second loans, for some businesses may qualify for a second loan, that those expenses are tax deductible. So that was terrific. And then the other thing is that the law, it expanded the employee retention tax credit. And this is a provision that can be very useful, can be useful both to our members and also to our state associations and to ACC National as well. Something to take a look at. And they made that provision easier to use and also made it easier to use if a business took a PPP loan. They may be able to use the employee retention tax credit during a different time period. So there's a lot for firms to look into and definitely should be talking to their CPAs about.
Absolutely. So really, a number of provisions and policies that we've been working hard on. And again, it shows that, you know, being involved and making sure your voice is heard does work and it is effective. And that was really the cap for 2020. And of course, now we're into 2021. And, you know, we're going into mid-January, we're days, really just, you know, weeks away from an inaugural that's going to have the transition to the Biden administration. He has announced some important names that are relevant to us, including a nominee for a Department of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, known quantity to us. He was a part of the Transportation Forum, the infrastructure forum that we co-sponsored with United for Infrastructure last February. So we have some new names, we have a new Congress, a change in the balance of power, and new opportunities. And Steve, you know, what is the lay of the land that we're looking at entering into with the Biden administration and the new 117th Congress?
Well, it's a good question, Jeff, and it's something that everybody's wrestling with. I think with the very narrow margins that exist in the House and the Senate, and it does look like we will have a Democratic Senate for the new administration to work with, but evenly split, 50-50. So consensus is going to be the order of the day. They're going to need to find a way, the administration's going to need to find a way to work with Republicans, particularly in the Senate, to move legislation. The House is a majority rules institution, but even there, Republicans picked up a number of seats in the House in the 2020 elections. And so Speaker Pelosi is going to have to work harder to hold her caucus together or broker deals with Republicans to move things forward. All of this, it's going to be challenging to do big things and to do anything controversial. But, you know, as Matt and Catherine indicated, we got a lot accomplished last year, particularly at the end of the year in that year-end spending and stimulus package. But a number of priorities carried over into 2021. And certainly the long-term infrastructure agenda that we had been lobbying for extensively throughout 2020 carries over into 2021. And that also happens to be something that Congress traditionally has worked well together on, you know, surface transportation reauthorization. We've got to do a new program to replace the FAST Act. And there is a deadline, the end of September, that needs to be done. So we know that could easily form the catalyst of this infrastructure agenda. And we also know the new administration has a more expansive view beyond just surface transportation, looping in water and aviation and even vertical projects. And much of that, I think, was took shape in legislation that the House passed last summer, the moving forward legislation, H.R. 2. So we're likely to see components of that reemerge in 2021, and components that touch a lot of markets that our members operate in. So it's going to be a challenging year, again, with the tight margins. A lot of it is going to relate or rely on a good working relationship between the president and his colleagues in the Senate, and he has many good relationships. I would say if anybody can get this done, Joe Biden can. I think he is a deal maker. He wants to accomplish things, and he's already identified infrastructure as a key part of his agenda. As Catherine indicated, you know, one of the major issues that we were able to resolve relative to our member firms that received PPP loans was the restoration of deductibility. We still have one other issue to deal with, and that relates to the so-called FAR credits clause and making sure that recipients of those loans don't have to give it back because of this quirk in the FAR and in the procurement system that's unique to our industry. And so I think for ACEC, that is going to be an early priority in 2021, perhaps in the context of the next stimulus bill, which may be the leadoff thing. It will be the focus, I think, before infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Additional assistance to individuals. This may be an opportunity, per Matt's comments, about to do additional assistance to the states, certainly from our standpoint, state DOTs, transit agencies, airports, et cetera, water systems. But it's also a vehicle to deal with some of these remaining issues that we weren't able to get resolved last year, such as the FAR credits clause and making sure that the intent of Congress is honored where America's engineering firms are concerned and that they're allowed to keep those loans, those forgiven loans, if they qualify for forgiveness.
Yeah, so there's still work to be done going early into 2021, but I guess the opportunity here is good because, we do, as you mentioned, there were a number of freshmen entering the 117th Congress, and a lot of relationships that need to be brokered, really, with these new members, and a lot of education that happens at this point in time, and we have to introduce ourselves and our industry to them. How do you see, you know, let's take Mayor Pete, for example, coming into DOT. I mean, he presented himself extremely well during the forum, but I think he admittedly even realizes that as far as federal transportation policy, he's not extremely well versed, but he does bring an interesting perspective that he comes from a municipal background. Mm-hmm. As an end user and the person who usually, has to deal with the projects being built and the result, instead of trying to get a project, funded or established in an area, he's kind of the end user. How do you think that change in perspective is going to shift the way that the agency operates?
I think it's a great perspective to bring to the table, and it's something that lawmakers will be able to relate to. As you indicated, he was excellent at that presidential forum a year ago. They all did well. We had the president-elect there and other major candidates. I think Pete Buttigieg really stood out in understanding the critical role infrastructure plays in not only local economies, but just, the character and connectiveness of cities. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an indication also, credit to the president-elect. This is a serious pick, and this is somebody who is going to want to take a hands-on approach and put some serious skin in the game in getting a big reauthorization program through Congress. This is not going to be a figurehead. And so I think it's an indication, another indication on the part of the incoming administration that this is going to be a priority. They've got a high profile, very well read, very articulate spokesperson to lead the effort on their side. We've been told that we could see maybe not draft legislation. Very often administrations will put together, you know, a white paper of sorts, a summary. And we've been told we could see something as soon as you know, late February, early March. If that's the case, he's going to really need to hit the ground running. But I think he'll be able to draw upon some of the good work that's already happened in the House and the Senate from 2020. Mm-hmm. They won't be starting from scratch. We've put forward recommendations. You know, ACEC, there's a great deal of natural overlap between some of the priorities of the incoming administration and our agenda, including infrastructure, but not limited to that. But we've put forward a number of recommendations with respect to surface transportation, both in terms of just the importance of getting it done, a robust program, a sustainable funding source, but also the nature of the kind of work our members do in terms of making a system greener, more resilient, and more sustainable. So we look forward to that relationship, working with him and working with Congress, and again, with the goal of getting it done in 2021.
Absolutely. And they're just, you know, Infrastructure Week, you know, it's become kind of a bit of a punchline in the past couple of year or two, honestly. And I think there's a change. There's a feeling of a change in momentum. I hope it continues, and I hope that they can kind of pick up on this and use it as a way to bring some unity back to Congress on an issue that is historically bipartisan, or at least, you know, willing to broach bipartisan compromise and debate instead of amity. So it would be good to have that coming out first off in the early stages of a Biden administration and the Congress.
Yeah, Jeff, if I might weigh in here, just real briefly, to supplement what Steve was saying, the other thing that makes me very encouraged about the approach and the that we're hearing from the incoming administration is a real focus, as Steve indicated, on sustainability and a long-term view of investment, rather than the very short-term, quote, shovel-ready approach that was taken in the stimulus bill in 2009 in the Recovery Act. I mean, this incoming administration is talking about shovel-worthy projects and, you know, multi-year, long-term investments and work that really is going to be done by engineers, the early stage planning, preliminary design, you know, environmental reviews, those types of things are going to be eligible and necessary, as well as the sort of focus on building a more resilient system, responding to and adapting to the effects of a changing climate is going to be an area of emphasis, and again, an area of expertise for our industry. So as Steve said, there's a confluence of our agenda and our abilities and their agenda as well. So it's all very encouraging.
Yeah. All areas of growth and opportunity for our member firms. So it's good to see that.
Yeah, opportunity is a great word for 2021.
Absolutely, that's positive. Let's keep it going. So I guess, you know, that's a good place to tie it up for the first one. I you know, there's a lot to kind of dissect there. Just know that Steve's team is endlessly busy. There's no end to the work that they're doing here for ACEC, and that is, you know, still our, you know, primary focus. It's advocating for the business of engineering before both sides of Pennsylvania Avenue. So thank you all again for taking time out of your busy days. And we look forward to having you back on the show in the weeks to come. And again, this has been the first of many government affairs updates as part of our podcast series, Engineering Influence, brought to you by the American Council of Engineering Companies. We'll see you again next time.